gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our redeemer.
Amen.
I'm going to focus today on the Old Testament reading, that portion of Genesis that we heard this morning, part of the story of Abraham. Abraham, as you may know, the stories of Abraham. The stories that we read about Abraham are foundational. They are the foundation for three of the great religious traditions in our world, the so-called Abrahamic faiths, Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. But as we look at these stories about Abraham, and in fact most of the stories that we read in the Pentateuch and the early books of the Bible, we're confronted almost immediately with what to do with these stories, how to interpret them, how to use them in our contemporary lives. For example, before we even get to Abraham, there is the description of his father, Terah, who, according to scripture, lived 205 years. As modern people, we say, right. 205. Just as it happened this week, I kept encountering in different contexts a quote by John Dominic Crossan talking about some of these Old Testament stories. And he says, "My point, once again, is not that these ancient people told literal stories, and we are now smart enough to take them symbolically, but that they, the ancient people, told these stories symbolically, and we are now dumb enough to think they should be taken literally." Or if you don't want to identify as one of those who is dumb enough to try and take these stories literally, the other option that often faces contemporary readers, contemporary hearers of these stories, is to simply dismiss them, to dismiss their relevance, to dismiss their message, to dismiss that they have any importance to us today. Rather than looking, as I think Crossan would encourage, and I would as well, rather than taking these stories, these ancient stories, and looking within them for the symbolic, for the deep meaning that they continue to have in contemporary society. Abram's story, Abram who will become Abraham, Abram's story begins in the scriptures a few chapters earlier than today's reading, back in Genesis chapter 12. At that point, the Lord says to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Leave your home and your family, and I will make you a blessing. I will make you the father of a great nation that will be a blessing." In the three chapters between the point where God speaks to Abram about becoming the father of a nation, becoming a blessing, between that point and the reading that we had this morning in Genesis 15, a lot has happened. Time has passed. Abram and his family have traveled and undergone quite a few adventures and experiences. But the one thing that has not happened over the course of these years is Abram has not become the father of a great nation. He is yet childless, at least children of his own. So he complains. He complains to God. He whines to God. There's a rich biblical tradition of whining to God. We should never hesitate to join that tradition when we feel the need. Abram complains to God. He says, I have no seed. I have no heir. I have no future. My life is yet barren. You haven't given me what you told you were going to give me. Abram's words, at least to my modern ears, sound a bit whiny and self-centered. But Abram is questioning his place in God's purpose. He is wondering about the validity of God's promise. He's wondering about his own relationship with God. Very contemporary concerns. And then God speaks to Abram again. God says, look toward heaven and count the stars, if you are able to count them. So shall your descendants be. God says to Abram, open your eyes and see. This is what you are a part of. This is the immensity of the promise. This is your place in God's purpose. Look at the stars. Can you count them all? Just try and imagine in ancient times what the night sky looked like. It's pretty good here, but think about then. This passage where God invites Abram to look up and see the immensity of the heavens. This passage and some other things this week brought to mind for me a quote from C.S. Lewis's book, The Screwtape Letters. I hope some of you have read The Screwtape Letters. It's an engaging read. In case you're not familiar with it, in this book, C.S. Lewis, the premise of this book is that it is written in the voice of Screwtape, who is a devil. Screwtape is a devil. Screwtape is a tempter. One of those voices that seeks to draw people away from God's goodness and love. And whether or not you believe that tempters are actually embodied or not, I suspect that most of us know what that voice within us sounds like, that voice that tempts us away from God's goodness and love. Well, in the Screwtape Letters, Screwtape, the tempter, the devil, is writing letters of instruction to his young nephew, Wormwood, who is in training, sort of an apprentice devil, as the book is written. So these words, this quote, this passage that I'm going to be quoting, is in Screwtape's voice. It is in the voice of one who would draw people away from God. Screwtape says to Wormwood, the church, as we see her, remember that the church is the people. The church, as we see her, spread out through all time and space and rooted in eternity. Terrible. It is a spectacle which makes our boldest tempters uneasy. But fortunately, it is quite invisible to these humans. The people who are the church, spread out through all time and all space and rooted in eternity. Thankfully, Screwtape says, this vision of the church is quite invisible to humans. Is it invisible to us? Is it invisible? Go out on a clear night and look toward heaven and count the stars if you are able. Stretch across all time and space, symbolically showing us the people who are God's beloved, across all time and space, rooted in the eternity that is God. Lewis, of course, in his book, is speaking specifically of the Christian tradition as he describes the church. But when I think of God's words to Abram, I can't help but think of that great fellowship. That great fellowship that is all of God's beloved. All of God's beloved. Too numerous to count, stretching symbolically across all time and space, from Abram's time up to our very own, and even beyond. In the Christian tradition, we call this fellowship the communion of saints. This fellowship that stretches across all time and space. But listen to how our own prayer book in the Catechism describes the communion of saints. The communion of saints is the whole family of God. The whole family of God, the living and the dead, those whom we love and those whom we hurt, bound together in Christ by sacrament, prayer, and praise. Bound together, not only limitless in time and space, not only beyond our ability to count or to comprehend, but bound together, held together, bound together by the grace and the love of God. Bound together, the whole family of God. Different traditions would probably describe that cohesion differently, but it is the presence and the love of God, the grace of God given to us, that binds us together. This great fellowship across time and space, the whole family of God, bound together by God's grace and God's love across all time and space. Do you see it? God takes Abram out to look, to see. Let us prove Screwtape wrong. Let us see it as well. This fellowship of God's family, of God's beloved, that stretches across all time and space, bound together. In that fellowship, we will find, as a part of that fellowship, we will find the strength to stand against the powers of darkness and hate. In that fellowship that spans all time and space, we will find deep comfort, eternal comfort rooted in God's own being to sustain us in times of tragedy. As part of that great fellowship of God's family, we will find the hope and peace of God's presence and promise with us in a way so much greater than any of us could discover or claim on our own. Look up, the story of Abram tells us. Look up, symbolically look up. See the stars and know that you are a part of this. Look up, look out, look beyond yourself. See the whole of God's family all around us. We are bound together by the powerful love and grace of God. Across all time and space, we are bound together.